Down to Dunk Podcast. I'd like to welcome back Carson Cunningham to the Down to Dunk Podcast. Carson, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. It's Monday, but this is my Saturday, so I'm kicking back, relaxing. It's a good day.
Oh, nice. So you have Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah, it's a real exciting weekend, I know. Monday and Tuesday, there's a lot going on those days. But that is my weekend, so I'm in a good mood regardless.
Well, sweet. So you went to the game last night. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, not much happened, to be honest with you. I mean, KD didn't score very much. He didn't play the second half. Really, all that happened was Reggie Jackson looked really good. He was 3-for-3 from three-point land, I believe, and he looked like he is really making the leap to a legit NBA player and can really fill the role for Russell Westbrook. And the Jazz are going to be really bad. Those were my big takeaways was that KD didn't play much. Reggie was spectacular. Steven Adams continues to impress, and that the Jazz are going to be in the lottery really high this year.
Hey, and that's what they want. They cleared house, and they're ready for Andrew Wiggins to come to Utah.
Yeah, when your two best players are Alec Burks and Enes Kanter, you're probably not going to make an impact in the playoffs this year.
What do you think about Derek Favors?
You know, he didn't really do much for me. I mean, I like him as his talent. I saw he got paid. I've always thought he was a little overrated. I didn't like him that much coming out of the draft. He was drafted very high by I believe the Nets. Yeah, he really hasn't done much. I mean, he's got the pedigree, I guess. The NBA guys really like him, the insiders and everything, but he didn't do a whole lot last night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and he basically has a Bacchus contract.
Was it right?
4 years, like 54 or something like that. I mean, that's a lot for a guy who hasn't proven anything.
Yeah, it's that whole, you know, production versus potential. He's getting paid on potential right now, and they're hoping that he can kind of put the production there. So, and plus you're Utah, you're one of those markets where you're not going to attract the biggest names. So that, and maybe they felt like they had to lock him down in a contract and hope that he blossoms.
I'm glad the Thunder aren't in those same shoes. Cause
that's what you worry about whenever, I don't want to bring it up, but 10, 15 years from now when Kevin Durant's no longer playing and you're trying to attract talent, you basically have to do it the way the Thunder did, is just bottom out.
Yep. Built through the draft and pray that somebody like KD comes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we inherited literally one of the greatest players to ever play the game here in the city. So it's going to be interesting to see how the fan interest, if it wanes whenever that does happen, what's going to happen with that. But right now, Oklahoma City, it's like Oklahoma City's kind of still in that honeymoon phase because they just got the team. There was 1 year they were bad, and then bam, they're in the playoffs every year. So it's going to be interesting to see how the fan support does once there's not a legitimate top 10 player of all time playing on the team.
Yeah. I would like to think that the fan base would still be good, but, you know, it could look a lot like Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee has had a, you know, mediocre team for as long as I can remember, and their fan base is just as mediocre.
Well, that's amazing. I've always said that about Milwaukee. It's like they have not been good literally since the 70s, and fans are still going. It's amazing. It's kind of like the Kansas City Royals baseball fans. I feel bad for them. They keep showing up, and they have literally no chance to win.
Yeah.
So that's what you hope for, and I think it helps that Oklahoma City, that's the only professional franchise in Oklahoma City. So
yeah.
I think they'll be fine, but for now they have Durant, and all is good in the world.
Yes. Well, let's get into some – well, let's first, I want to, are you somebody who's optimistic or pessimistic when talking about the Westbrook injury? I guess the optimistic view would be Jeremy Lamb and Reggie Jackson are going to get a chance to get shots in real games and, you know, get more time against, you know, real NBA players. Or the pessimistic side would be, you know, this team is going to lose a lot more games and they could end up being the fifth or sixth seed in the West. You know, where do you stand on the whole, you know, what's going to happen while Westbrook's out?
Well, I'm pessimistic in that I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, I mean, he had a meniscus tear, which we were all led to believe was not that serious of an injury. They were very cautious with him and had the surgery, didn't try to bring him back so that he could be ready for the season. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks before the season, he has another surgery completely out of the blue. He went to a different doctor to have the second procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that either he re-injured it or the injury was way more severe than they led us to believe in the beginning. Because to me, a meniscus tear should not be an issue anymore. That should be behind him. He should be already back to 100%. And so I'm very pessimistic in that. I think they'll be fine in the regular season because they have Kevin Durant. They have Serge Ibaka. They have some more talent around those two guys. And those two guys can win you at least 50 or so games. So I'm not pessimistic in that I think they're going to fall all the way down to the fifth or sixth seed. But I'm pessimistic in that we don't know if Russell's going to be back this year to 100% at all this season.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already going to miss, 8 to 10 weeks total, 6 to 8 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take him half the year probably to get back to the crazy Wolverine Russell Westbrook that's flying around the floor. So I have a lot of questions in that we don't know what's going on with that knee. And the way Russell Westbrook plays, he's not like a post guy where he can just kind of put his back to the basket and do the old 40-year-old man game and kind of work his knee back into shape. He has to fly around like a madman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my concern. And the fact that you don't have Russell hurts the bench because you normally would have a player of Reggie Jackson's caliber on the bench. Well, now he has to slide in the starting spot. So there's a lot of I am very concerned about this Russell Westbrook thing because I don't believe we're getting, the whole story behind what happened. Because they're very tight-lipped about it, and that's the way they're always going to be. But
now, what I heard was that there was a loose stitch. And I've never heard of that happening before surgery. I thought that was really odd.
That was the story. And my concern is, I guess the stitch broke and there was swelling. Well, shouldn't there have been swelling sooner? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how the stitch works. I feel like it was really bizarre that he just started experiencing swelling right before the season. Like, surely he's been playing basketball this summer. I don't know. It's just the whole thing's weird to me, and I'm very concerned about it. Now, I still think the Thunder will be okay in the long run. It's nothing to freak out about, but I'm more pessimistic than most.
Yeah, because he had that he put it on Vine where he threw his crutches in the pool, and that was like in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, that was so long ago. Like, I totally expected him to be the Russell Westbrook we saw right before he was injured from game one. I didn't think I was on your podcast. I didn't think he'd miss one game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big concern for me moving forward.
Okay, so we're going to talk over-unders. We did over-unders in the season preview podcast, but then Russell Westbrook got hurt and none of that mattered after I put it out. So we're going to go over a few of them again. So over-under 50.5 wins is what Vegas has the Thunder at.
I got to go over. I think that number is crazy to me, to be honest. Like, I know they're not going to have Russell, but, I mean, they won 60 games last year with Russell and Kevin. I think Kevin on his own, I think the better line, I think, would have been about 56, maybe.
Okay.
So I think they're going to go way over that because they're such a good regular season team, and they have Serge Ibaka, they have Kevin Durant. Reggie Jackson's looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still going to be one of the better teams in the West, even without Russell. I mean, they gave the Grizzlies a series without, they're one of their top two players. So I got to go over that. I think they win about 56, 55 probably would be my guess. But I thought Vegas thinks that they are in trouble. You know, we talked about the pessimistic outlook. That's about as pessimistic as I think you can get.
Mm-hmm. And I had them. When after the Westbrook injury, before the preseason, just judging what Reggie did in the playoffs, like he did well in the playoffs, but he didn't make anybody better in those games. So I really worried about that. But his playmaking abilities, he seems to have really worked on that. He's worked on his jump shot. And then, Serge Ibaka has looked so much better to me, without Russell Westbrook in these preseason games. So just watching them, and I know preseason doesn't matter that much, but watching these guys play, I'm with you. I think that they're way over 50.
Yeah, and their big mantra that they say literally in every interview is we want to get better. Well, I think we've seen that with Serge Ibaka and Reggie Jackson. Serge has really stepped up his offensive game. He showed a little bit of that last night with his, which we'll get into a little bit later, but his face-up game. He's facing up and taking guys to the rim, which was it's intriguing to see because we're so used to him just catching and shooting. But he's obviously added a quicker first step going to the rim, and Reggie just looked fantastic. He's like you said, he's not a pure point guard, and like you said, he doesn't set guys up well as maybe most point guards. But he's you can tell he's really made a point to improve that in his shooting. He was only a 30% 3-point shooter in the playoffs last year, and you can tell he's really worked on that. And we talked to him about that in the locker room afterwards. He said, guys aren't showing, he goes, last year guys were not showing me respect at all. They were just trying to protect the rim. I have to make threes to get them to respect me. And that's what he did last night. So it's encouraging. And I think they'll be fine as they wait on Russell to get back, but you hope to see Russell back to 100% for sure.
Yeah. This next question, and I want to preface it by, you know, mentioning the over under in the first season preview podcast was over under 100 NBA minutes for Steven Adams this season. And after watching him for these five games, my new over under is 15 minutes per game for Steven Adams. Like, how crazy is that? Like, I've had to like backpedal on everything that I said about him all summer.
I'm going to need, if he keeps playing like this, I'm going to need an all you can eat buffet of crow. That's how wrong I've been on this guy. I did not want them to draft him. I thought he was a stiff. He is not a stiff. No. This guy can play. He can play in this league. I think he's already taken Hasheem Thabeet's backup center spot. I really do. Yeah. He started last night instead of Thabeet. Now Thabeet got the start before that. Mm-hmm. But he's just a better player than Hasheem Thabeet already.
He is.
I mean, he really is. Like he had 6 points. He showed a nice post-up game. Mm-hmm. Scored 6 points last night. Had 10 boards. He's really... I think he might even be pushing Kendrick Perkins for some playing time. Now, Kendrick's been hurt. He's supposed to play in the next preseason game against Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm all in on Adams. I think everyone's all in on him, what he's shown. Now, he's still learning, and it's only the preseason. But I thought he was going to spend a majority of the time this year in Tulsa. That's clearly not going to be the case this year.
Yeah, and he played Kanter last night, and Kanter's a good player. Like, I like Enes Kanter, and he was awesome against him from what I've read.
Yeah, Kanter didn't do anything until Adams was out of the game, literally. So that's an encouraging sign. And he just – what I was expecting to see out of him is a guy that didn't know how to play basketball, but he moves really well. You can tell he's learning how to play the game, and that was my biggest concern. I knew he was a good athlete, but I asked Reggie Jackson what he thought of Steven Adams last night in the locker room, and he kind of looked at me and said, you know, he goes, I'm a student of the game. I followed him in college. He didn't have as good a year at Pitt as people thought, but I knew he was good, but I did not know he was this good. He is really, really good. And when he said that, all the reporters, we kind of looked at each other like, whoa, like this guy's making a huge impression. And so, man, I've been completely wrong on the guy so far, but I want to see it in the season, but it's going to be up to Scott Brooks how much he plays, but I'm going to go over 15 minutes per game for Steven just because I think he's going to take that backup center spot. And with Perk, you know, he got a technical in a suit. So he might be getting in some foul trouble. So yeah. Adams' minutes go up with that. So I'm going to go over.
And Steven Adams only had 3 fouls last night against, you know, a worthy opponent, which was good, which was nice to see.
No, he looked – I mean, yeah, he does a good job of not fouling. You're right. There was a few times where he went up with Kanter and Favors both and contested the shot and didn't get close to fouling but made them miss the shot. So you can tell he's already kind of learned how to not foul while also contesting shots. So he gets better every game. I mean, Reggie said he's a sponge, and he said it's been fun watching him learn and get better. He said he's gotten better at a, just an insane rate. So, man, don't ever doubt Sam Presti. That's the rule.
I guess. I've just been amazed. You know, I mean, I was down on this guy. I thought it was a horrible pick. I thought, you know, this guy's going to, you know, play out his rookie contract and then go back to New Zealand. But I was dead wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I was dead wrong about him. And I didn't like the Roberson pick either. Mm-hmm. Now, Roberson got torched last night against Gordon Hayward. He kind of had a welcome to the NBA moment there. Gordon Hayward looked really good, but I didn't like Robertson pick either, but it's clear to me they can throw him on a team's best scorer for maybe 4 or 5 minutes just to pester him, and he's obviously a really good rebounder, so he brings something to the table that they could use in certain spots. So they had a good draft. You have to give it up to Sam Presti. They had a really good draft again, and I will never question his lottery picks ever again.
Now, what position is Robertson going to play in the NBA?
I would guess. I mean, you could put him on the team's three, or I think you could guard the two or the three spot.
Okay, so he's going to be on the perimeter, but in college he played inside, right?
Yeah, I think so. But he's only what, 6'6"? Mm-hmm. I don't see him playing down low much. But the league's getting smaller, so he might be able to slide down there at certain spots. But he can't shoot. He can't shoot at all. He is Tabo about 4 years ago. His first shot of the game last night was from the corner, and it hit the side of the backboard, and everyone kind of groaned like, oh yeah, this guy's a great defender and rebounder, but he's got some work to do on the shooting. But that's his target, is to take over for Tabo when his contract runs out.
You think that they're going to let Tabo go?
I would guess so. I mean, Tabo's getting to that state in his career where he's probably going to just try and take the most money. That's just I'm just speculating here. I don't have any inside information, but mm-hmm. I would think, you know, Tabo's getting up there in age. Robertson will be cheaper, younger. That's kind of the Thunder model, I think, is to kind of just build through the draft. And Tabo's been a loyal Thunder player, so maybe they'll offer him another contract. I'm not sure, but if I had to guess, I would say Tabo would probably take the most money he's offered, no matter where that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't blame him either for that.
No, he's been great. He's had a good career.
Okay, over under 15 points per game for Reggie Jackson while Russell Westbrook is out.
That's a good line, 15 points per game. I got to go, man, what did he average in the playoffs? Do you know?
I think it was 13 or 14.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. Anything over 15 is pushing it. I'm going to go right at 13 or 14 points per game. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to go over. Let's go optimistic here. He's improving that outside shot, and they're going to need him to score more than 15 points per game, I think, because they're still a little lacking with Jeremy Lamb's shot. Hadn't quite been clicking on all cylinders, let's say. So I'm going to go over because of his improved jump shot and the fact that he's going to get a ton of minutes. I mean, so he's going to be playing 35, 40 minutes. So I think he'll go over that.
Okay. We're going to do some true and false. Speaking of Jeremy Lamb, Thunder fans should be nervous about Jeremy Lamb's performance in the preseason. True or false?
True. I haven't liked what I've seen. I think I said this last time. I loved him coming out of UConn. He was immense in their Final Four run. Now, he didn't have as good a year as his final year at UConn, but I really liked his game, really liked his set. But I have not liked anything I've seen so far with the Thunder. I mentioned it last year. They had a real chance to showcase himself those last two or three games where the Thunder rested their big guns and literally rolled him out there and said, do your thing, and he didn't play well. He hasn't played well so far. His shot hasn't been falling. Now it's only the preseason. That can turn around. I haven't seen anything yet to lead me to believe that he can be the sixth man while Russell's hurt. Now he can prove me wrong. Steven Adams has already made me look like an idiot. So he can turn it around, but I would be concerned. I wouldn't be panicked. I would be concerned if I was a Thunder fan, just mm-hmm. the way he's played. And he has that demeanor. He's real quiet, doesn't get real fired up. So when he's not hitting shots, I think people tend to panic a little more and say, this guy's just kind of, he's not there. He's not all there. So mm-hmm. I would be concerned so far.
Yeah. Did you read the Daily Thunder article about comparing him to James Harden, and that James Harden's first two seasons, he really wasn't even very good. And then he kind of broke out. So not that he's going to break out like James Harden, but that we need to give him more time to, you know, develop and get more comfortable in an NBA role. I mean,
no, that's certainly true. A lot of people forget that Harden was kind of a wide-eyed rookie that first year. Like, he could tell that he was like, wow, I'm playing in the NBA with Kevin Durant, and this is a lot different than playing in the Pac-10, Pac-12. people forget. And that's back when he had like the very closely trimmed beard. He looked like a different one. So, yeah, James Harden was not doing James Harden things right away. So, yeah, you have to temper your expectations with Lamb. He's still a young player. This is going to be his first real season of NBA basketball where he's actual minutes. So it's only preseason. We'll see how he goes. You know, it's going to be a long year. So he'll get plenty of chances. So we'll see. We should probably revisit it around the All-Star break and see how he's doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. True or false, Ryan Gomes will make this team.
You know, I hadn't thought a whole lot about that. I haven't crunched the numbers.
He's only played once in the preseason. He played in one game, and he hit three threes. And actually,
and that was it, right? Yeah. He didn't. I don't think he played last night either. Mm-hmm. I would say no, but I haven't studied the roster. Now, that was Steven Adams' emergence. Probably, you know, him being in Tulsa most of the years, what I thought was going to happen was going to help his case. But I'm going to go no. I'm gonna go false.
Yeah, it's hard to. What do you?
I've been so wrapped up in Adams and the starters and all, and Russell and all that. I hadn't thought much about him.
Man, I thought he looked good. He hit three threes. He was 3 for 3. But I think that's an aberration. I mean, he's like a 33%, you know, 3-point shooter in his career. I mean. I don't know. I mean, if they have a spot open for him, I think that they'd sign him. I think that, you know, Magruder's probably gone, and
They might. When I signed him, I kind of viewed it as like the Kevin Ollie,
yeah,
Ronnie Brewer, even last year, just the guy that's a wily veteran that can kind of mentor guys, maybe around in that role,
kind of in case of an injury guy.
Yeah, a guy that has played in the league a long time, and if they get into just a pinch, he won't embarrass himself out there. So
yeah, I think that they'll keep him, but he's just going to sit at the end of the bench, would be my guess.
Yeah, they always have that veteran that just kind of is a mentor more than a player. So maybe that's what they signed him for. I honestly hadn't thought about him too much, but now that you mention it, that's probably the role he'll play this year if he's on the team.
Okay, true or false, Serge Ibaka is a noticeably better offensive player.
I'm going to go true. Now, it's only – you got to preface everything, but it's only preseason. Yeah. but you can tell that this is his first year of his contract. He needs to step up his game. And you can tell he's done that. Like I mentioned, the face-up game is what I noticed more than anything. They were throwing it out to him at the top of the key, and he's – driving past people, which you really haven't seen him do a whole lot off the dribble. And he did that really well in Tulsa a few times. He had a couple slams off his first step, which is noticeably different. And I haven't seen a whole lot of his back-to-the-basket game so far. That's what you really hope to see. But apparently he's worked hard at that aspect of his game. But, yeah, I think he's really worked hard to improve his game. And I think we're going to see a lot different offensive game out of him this year.
Yeah, he just looks a little more comfortable to me and doesn't look as awkward. And he he looks more, more decisive with the ball.
Yeah, at times last year they would throw it to him on the block and he would have that Blake Bell kind of foot shuffle where he, right before he throws a pick, he does that little foot shuffle and starts backing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Serge's back to the basket game. He would start shuffling his feet really quickly and backpedaling. It's like, what do I do? What are my hands? What do I do? It's amazing to me how young he still is. It's easy to forget with these guys. So he hasn't even begun to hit his prime yet. So plus he's a guy that's still kind of learning how to play basketball, a lot like Steven Adams is beginning to learn how to play the game, you know?
Yep.
So it'll only get better.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Serge Ibaka. I was really worried about him, especially with Russell Westbrook going out, just because of how he looked after Russ was gone in the playoffs. I thought, man, this guy needs a point guard like Russ to get him space to deliver him the ball. But he's shown that he can face up and go one-on-one with somebody, you know, multiple times in the preseason, and I hope that continues to carry over to the regular season.
Well, yeah, he has just such freak athleticism that he needs to put it to use, and that's what you hope to see is because the bigs guarding him, every big that guards him is not going to have his combination of size and speed for the most part. There's very few guys in the league that have his just God-given talent, and he needs to – like, it's great that he has that almost automatic jump shot from the elbow. But that's what we need to see, is him put that athleticism to use. And I think he's done that so far in the preseason. That's good to see.
Yeah. I think that he may be a guy that this season that people – I mean, people talk about Serge Ibaka and they call him overrated. But he may be so – people may talk about him, you know, as being overrated so much that he may become underrated again know, during the season.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah. Okay, last question. With Russell Westbrook, this team is a title contender.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they won 60 games with him last year. They were well on their way, I believe, to going to the finals. And I think that team would have pushed Miami for all they wanted. I mean, this, we saw what the Spurs did. And the Thunder were a better team than the Spurs throughout the regular season last year. So, now, it depends on what Russell Westbrook they have in their lineup. Do they have the guy we saw last year before the injury? Or are we going to see a different Russell Westbrook that's a little more like, you know, you hope you don't run into a kind of a Derrick Rose situation where they're overly cautious and they don't bring him back till, you know, very late in the season and he only plays sparingly. So it's going to be very – that's the number one thing to watch this year is when will we see Russell, what Russell will we see. But if we see the guy we saw last year, there's no question that they're the favorite in the West.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess I'm just holding that hope that he's going to be, you know, good as new when he comes back.
Well, yeah, you hope so, and it's just you don't know. I mean, you know Russell's mentality, that he wants to be out there right now, and mm-hmm. you know he's going to be going insane in that rehab stuff. Like, he's probably breaking records for their pace as far as when they want him to be hitting certain spots in his rehabilitation. You know, he's one of those freak guys that'll do, you know, instead of five sets of something, he'll do 10.
Mm-hmm.
Just the type of guy he is. So he may come back quicker than they anticipated, but I feel like the Thunder will be overly cautious with him, knowing that they still have Kevin and they can still win NBA games without him.
Yeah. Well, Carson, we'll be watching you on KOCO throughout the season, and we'll have you on again probably several times throughout the season on the podcast, and we just want to thank you for coming on today.
Sounds good. Anytime, man.
Down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.